our pleasure to share today. And we have a message that is really a testimony type message. We call it Takeaways and Testimonies from Franschhoek Art House. Many of you know that we had a business called Franschhoek Art House for 30 plus years in the main road. And it was a big blessing to us. It was an art gallery until we closed it a couple of years ago. And actually, my wife, Rosita, was busy in that business, the early stage of that business from 1986, which is probably before many of you were born. Mm. It's called Deep Into Last Century. Mm. And I got involved a few years later in 1990, and that business provided really well for us for over 30 years until we closed it down. But, you know, in the early days, business was not so very profitable. And at a certain stage, I wasn't involved, and my wife got a little frustrated with that and decided that she's going to close the business. So I'll let her share that just now. And it's really the first of three testimonies that she's going to share from the art house over these periods of years. And as she shares each testimony, we'll take out a spiritual principle for all of us from each one. That's our takeaway to take home. So I think the first testimony we call Let the Peace of God Rule. Okay, off you go.
Oh, yes. Well, I recall the house was supernaturally put into our hands. We bought it, but it was so much of the Lord that we thought God must have a purpose. I didn't want the second house. I thought cleaning, oh, no. But I knew God, it was such a testimony how that house came into our hands, that it had to be a purpose. But, and you know, the Lord works in awesome and miraculous ways. I can testify, and if I had to testify all the testimonies, you'd sit here until Monday morning, because God's awesome grace and goodness. We didn't know what to do with it. It was empty for, I don't know, 8 months or so, until God. And so he sent a lady across my path who is an artist, who I led to the Lord. And I thought, oh, I need to sort of maybe be an instrument in discipling her. I was a baby Christian, so you can imagine my discipling may not have had so much impact on her. But she was asked to come with a body of work for an exhibition to Upington. And off she went. She had about 36 pieces. And when she came back 2 weeks later, she had a handful of pieces left. I thought, wow, this is good. Maybe we need to do something like this in this empty house. And when I looked at how she was painting, I thought, she's just playing with colors, and so I can do that too. And that is how I started my art. And so the rest is coming. So I am, when it comes to sort of the administrative part, I'm very low. That is really a weakness of mine. But thank God for a husband who has his strengths are filling up my weaknesses. And my weakness, I'm a handyman, fills up my strengths, fill up his weaknesses. So we make a good match.
Every man needs a handy woman, huh?
So I didn't take count of what was spent and what came in. I didn't have a clue. And so we started calling the house Artist Workshop, because soon I have six people who all feel like, oh, it's lovely to do art. So on a Monday evening, we got all together and we would start painting and playing with paint and pencil and what have you. And I thought, yeah, maybe if we get a body of work among the six of us, maybe we could have a nice little exhibition. And we asked the pastor to open and sort of we have some wine and we invite friends and family and the church and the neighbors. And that is how our first exhibition started. The sales were very minimal, but we did our best. So about, I don't know, a year into it, Derek said to me, darling, how much profit do you think you've made this year? I thought, can't be too much, maybe 1,500 rand. He said, no. I said, 2,000 rand? No, 999 rand for a year profit. I thought, that's for the birds. This is not going to work. No one is going to work for 100 rand per month. This is, I'm going to close this. May, the end of May, I will tell the artist, this is over and done with. But God, the faithfulness of God, who reminded me that he wanted the house to be used for his purposes. And the Lord kept, the Holy Spirit kept nagging in my, you are not going. And I was defending my choice, thinking, it's ludicrous to work for so little the whole year. No, it can't be right. But praise God for the Holy Spirit, who reminded me of a scripture that I'd been given but didn't understand at the time. This shall be a sign. It is Isaiah 37, verse 30. This shall be a sign to you. You shall eat this year such as grows by itself. The second year, what springs from the same, also the third year, sow and reap. Plant vineyards and eat fruit of them. And I thought possibly that has played out, planted and not having too much benefits of it. So the scripture started sort of making more sense. But you know, I am so grateful that I did not give in, but that I surrendered it to the Lord and said, okay, Lord, your will be done. You know better than I do. You know the end from the beginning. So you will navigate me into this journey. Now, I did not know what God knew. Derek would lose his job within a year. And, well, I needed him very, very much. And actually, the Lord knew how much I was going to need him. Well, the gallery started really flourishing. So, darling, yours is next moment.
Thanks. I've got a chance to speak. I think if you can fly that scripture, yeah, that the peace of God rule. You know, it's so important, because if Rosita had closed the gallery at that stage, we'd have been in much more of a toestand when I lost my job. But at least there, when I lost my job, there was already the seed, if you like, of what was going to happen. So it could have been potentially disastrous for us, even though the business was so unprofitable at that time, to close the business. And if we just turn to the scripture, this is a very interesting scripture. It's Colossians 3:15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And this whole story is such an illustration of how we are led by the Holy Spirit. That's really the takeaway that I'd like all of us to get from that. The peace of God in our hearts is so often symbolic, if you like, of the fact that we are walking in God's will. And when we start feeling uncomfortable, like Rosita did, you know, the logic kicks in, the emotions kick in, I'm not working for peanuts, and there's every logical reason to close that business. But there's an absence of the peace of God to close that business. And I can't emphasize it too much for myself, for ourselves, and for all of us, that we need to heed the peace of God in our hearts, or just as much the lack of peace of God in our hearts. And like I said, that scripture is really interesting. In the in Amplified, you can see it up there, it amplifies the word rule. So in the Amplified, it would read something like this: and let the peace of God rule as umpire continually in your hearts. And if you think of it, we can all relate to sporting matches and things like that. If you watch a soccer game or a rugby game, all the time there's no problem. The referee is silent. There's no whistle. The game goes on. But as soon as something happens, as soon as something is wrong, the referee blows his whistle. And it's just like that in the Spirit. It's just like that. And I need to recognize it. We need to recognize it. And that's what was happening here, that Rosita made a decision, but the umpire, the referee, the Holy Spirit, was saying, hey, wait, something is wrong. And so what we need to do, me, you, all of us, what we need to do when we sense that, when we're busy with something, we think it's right, but we've got that scratchy feeling in us, that lack of peace in us, the best thing for me to do, the first thing really, is to stop what I'm doing and pray. And say, Lord, why? Why do I have this lack of peace in my heart? What is going on? Am I busy with something, totally busy with something I shouldn't be busy with at all? Maybe. It was in this case. Rosita was not called to close the business. She was called to carry on with the business. But it's not always that you're doing, or we're doing something totally wrong. It can be. But sometimes we're going ahead of the Lord, or there's something else that needs to come into place before we go ahead further, or whatever. But if I'll just stop and ask the Lord, what is it? Why? He is faithful, and he will tell me. He will tell me why. And I will know, no, you're going up the wrong path. Stop it. And when I stop it, peace will come back. Or, no, just put it on hold for a week or two. I'll tell you when to go ahead or whatever. Peace will come back and then you'll get to go ahead later on. Whatever it is, if we are sincere with the Lord and we want to do the right thing, he will make it alive in our spirits. And what I realize in my own life, we have this example that Rosita just mentioned, and I've seen it with so many of us. If we will just heed the peace of God, or particularly the lack of peace of God in our hearts about something, if we will just heed it, pray to the Lord, and wait on him and listen and find out what's wrong, there's a lot of heartache and tragedy that can be avoided. At the very least, a substantial amount of bumping heads that didn't need to happen. So that's really the takeaway that we all need to take from that, that the Holy Spirit act as an umpire in our hearts. And the scripture also says, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So that's just one of the very important ways that we as sons and daughters of God are led. So may that bless you. And I think genoeg is genoeg. We'll go on to the next testimony. The next testimony we're calling From Brokenness to Wholeness. And Rosita's, I'm not going to share her testimony, but she's going to share out of a very difficult and broken childhood that she had. childhood, youth, early adult, up to the age of 30-odd years. It was a very broken time for her. We realize she's not the only person that has had a broken upbringing, but it's real. And what the testimony really goes about is how the years in the how the Lord used the years in the gallery, what he did, those 30 plus years in the gallery, how he moved Rosita from brokenness to wholeness. All right? It wasn't an overnight thing like that, but particularly as we look back on that journey and how the Lord used the gallery, he used other things as well, but the gallery is very instrumental in healing my wife. That's what it boils down to. So I'll let her share on that just now, but before she starts, I'll just read the appropriate scripture that I think you were given in the early days of the gallery, huh? And it's that famous scripture about restoring the years the locusts have eaten. Have we got it there? Yeah. Joel 2:25-26. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. Then you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Okay.
Well, do you know, when I got that word, I possibly was 3 years saved, coming from Holland, living in a city. I didn't even know what a locust was. What does a locust, what does he do? What has he eaten? I didn't have a clue, but I put it aside thinking, it doesn't matter. One day maybe I will know. So I was born in the war. And a war...
Second World War.
Yeah, not the first one. I'm old, but not that old.
Definitely not cold.
And war, I still, for years after, feared aircrafts flying, because I was thinking, I need to hide, because of fear, the bombing, I was really part in it. And so a fear for the noises, and but apart from that, the poverty, we were poor, very, very poor, lacking everything. And if someone would boil a sugar beet, I would recognize it from a distance, because that's what we ate. And three times a week, my mom would bring us on a little thing to a soup kitchen where we had three times a week soup. And she was given coupons so to add to some of the food. And so it was poor. We were very poor. There was no electricity. There was no... or electricity we had, but no heaters or anything. So, and I know, being poor was not a joke. And I was very prone to accidents. And my first accident, I was on a tricycle and a car hit me. I was 3 years old. When I was 8 years old, a car hit me and my friend, a lot more serious. And I had a dislocated jawbone that left me with a mouth that was slanted. And this became for my brothers a word to use against me. They called me scheef back. Now, that imprinted on me, I'm the ugliest thing on earth. I will never find a husband, because who want to marry an ugly woman? So that was a very, very, very sore point in my life, bringing up. So that was curse words, and I've always become very, very aware of curse words and how they impact, particularly the youngsters. And then I was in standard one, I would call it standard one, and it was a Catholic school, and my teacher was a nun. And at one point she rebuked me and said, "Be quiet, your parents haven't even paid your bills." And the shame that was in the class with all the pupils, the shame that came upon me was dreadful. And that was another very, very sore point. So I had a scheef back, I was ugly, I was poor, and my parents didn't even pay the bills. The school fees, yeah. And my mother was a very serious epileptic patient who was for many, when I was 22, she had been about 44 times in a hospital. And at times she was in the hospital 7 weeks, 8 weeks, even longer, because she went to a mental institute. Now that also doesn't help for how you feel, because your friends will remind you your mother is crazy. So that was another very, very sad thing impounding on who I was. And this had an extremely severe impact on my education, because I had to be, from about 10 years of age, I was mothering my two brothers and my sister. I was outside in the cold doing the hand washing, because we didn't have washing machine. Hand washing, I don't know how clean the clothes were, but I was at least trying my best to wash the clothes. I was trying to do the cooking, and the auntie on the other side of the road peeled at least the potatoes and cleaned the veggies and told me what to do. So my mothering part had really an impact. The burden on my shoulders was very, very heavy. And, my second job, I thought I'm now sort of getting a bit the better of all of it, because now I was working for Elizabeth Arden, so I thought I can at least deal with my ugly face. I can polish it nicely and put long eyelashes on and be truly as good looking as I can, because I was concerned I wouldn't get a husband because of my ugliness. And so my very first husband, let me finish this one. So here, not all the blows were done with. A new range of products was introduced, and obviously staff was called out together. And at one point I asked some questions, and the manageress of the beauty salon said to someone, "Don't worry, she never understands anything." I ran out of that place weeping and crying, locking myself in the toilet. I thought I was getting on top of things here, and here I am again a victim. And I cried for so long until someone came knocking on the toilet door to encourage me to get out. So that was another. The very first boyfriend I had became my husband. That was also a big mistake. He was verbally abusing me. That didn't help. I had two miscarriages, and at 30 I had cancer. and that was the end, because I thought this may be the last 6 months that I am alive. But how much of a broken vessel I was. I now want to give the good, because from brokenness to wholeness, it is a transition. And praise God, Derek blessed me with this love of my life, who was handsome, who was wise, who was wow. So this was...
That wasn't in the script. Huh?
So this was the first step in the right direction. We didn't know the Lord, but this I knew. This was a man of my dream, and you can see. And we are almost 50 years married and still in love with each other. Wow. God the glory. There was the start of a whole new chapter, the beginning of healing. And you know, I was looking for some writing paper to write my notes on, and here I looked at the date, and I've written that. My goodness, 20th. The 2nd of the 11th in 2020. This was our 46th anniversary. And I'll read to you what I wrote. Waking up with gratitude in my heart, God's grace on us in boundless measure. One of the least of these came to my mind. Who could ever have imagined that this beautiful Heavenly Father of ours spent so much time in transforming and in healing me and in renewing my mind. As a child, Satan had imprinted on my mind that I was one of the least of these, with no future, with no hope, poor, ugly, dumb, and of very low self-esteem. Don't allow, and the Lord spoke into my spirit on that day, the 2nd of the 11th month in 2020, and I wrote down, don't allow Satan to let your past determine your future. He comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. Christ, He has come to give life in abundance. God has a big dream for your life. Allow Him to do and to navigate your every day. He will accomplish and fulfill that that He has started for His glory. Isn't that beautiful? So 40 years, that was 40 years marriage. 46, sorry. Now almost 50 years, and we've been working, we've been for over 30 years in each other's company day and night, 24 hours, because we work together for all those years. So this is absolutely the Lord can restore. And to come back to the gallery, the Lord used the gallery as an instrument for His purpose, for my healing, but for His purpose. He used the gallery as a platform for evangelism. My work was very popular. I sold many, many paintings, and people loved my work, and I could paint from the heart. A lot of my paintings were born out of something that I experienced, and people recognized it, and I often shared testimonies and healing, and I prayed for people in the gallery, and it for us, it was not working. I enjoyed every bit of it, and I saw God's touch on my own life, and even often in other people's lives, and So the Lord restored, from brokenness to wholeness, from poverty to prosperity, from shame to honor. And I can only give the Lord all the glory. He did restore the years the locusts had eaten to the full.
Yeah, I think Rosita just said a few words at the end there, but one cannot overemphasize the healing power. When we look back over the years, the healing power, bear in mind, she was considered pretty dumb and all sorts of things like this, and there was dishonor. Then all of a sudden, as the Lord grew the business in the gallery, you know, people will put artists on a pedestal, you know? Artists, musicians, all sorts of people on a pedestal. And now all of a sudden, she's a good artist. Her work was popular, and so people are buying her work. So that, first of all, any artist will tell you, you get a kick out of it if someone wants to buy your work. So that immediately helps your self-esteem. And then they want to know about how and why and your inspiration and everything like that, which obviously gives a good in for the gospel, particularly for my wife. She's a natural evangelist. And so that shame and the dishonor just over time disappeared into honor. And the poverty, because the Lord blessed the business, the poverty moved away. Okay, it already started blessing us before we had the business. But I mean, that business provided for us for 30 plus years. And so the poverty of the first 30 odd years was moved into prosperity. The dishonor and the shame was kicked out the door. And instead of someone saying, ah, she doesn't know anything, it's like, what do you think about this? What about that? What about that? So it's just honor coming in. And the healing that took place over the years with that is phenomenal. And it's just that brokenness to wholeness. The locusts have been well and truly kicked out and destroyed. So I just want to emphasize the healing power of those years, what God used there, using perhaps quite a worldly thing to bring in a lot of healing. So, okay, I think we just move quickly on to the last one, which we're calling Count Your Blessings. It's a good thing to finish off with. But this testimony of Rosita's really comes out of, it basically stems from a bad hair day she was having at the end of the COVID-19 epidemic. It was a bad hair day, ne?
So, do you want me to
confess? if you're
willing. Yeah, you see, when you are maybe in a not so great position, it's easier to forget all the beautiful things the Lord has done, and you start murmuring and thinking, "Oh well, what poor me, and what now?" We were a year open already
in the COVID,
and our income had plummeted 80%, and I didn't sell paintings, I didn't have anything to inspire me, and I thought, oh Lord, no, I'm done with this, I'm not going to paint anymore, it's over, I'm finished. I was 79. And I thought, here I'm sitting in this cold, wet, dark place. I'm ice cold. I'm not inspired. Lord, no, I'm done. I'm not going to paint anymore. I'd rather sit at home, nice to the fireplace, reading a book than this. So I was murmuring and ungrateful. But we had to go to the gallery, and I decided, I'm going to rehang some paintings, and I'm going to put some bits and pieces out and clean a bit. And a couple walked in and out, and another couple walked in, and you could see, you know, they were very affluent. That is the right word.
Stinking rich, actually.
Yeah. But so I greeted them, but carried on with what I was doing. And she goes, I could hear from the start as they were saying, oh, they love this place, what lovely paintings, and la, la, la. And she at one point goes on her knees in the room I'm working, and she's going, oh, this is too beautiful. And she calls her husband, who was still in the front, and have a look at this lovely painting. Isn't that beautiful? So I thought, oh, I might as well tell her I'm the artist. Who knows? I may even sell it. So then I told her I'm the artist. Oh, what else is your work? I love it. Where? And so she couldn't stop giving me all the glory, but I was not impressed. So her husband takes it from the easel and goes to the back and says to Derek, any discount on this? And Derek said, no, the price you see is the price you pay, unfortunately. So he said, pack it, we'll take it on our trip tomorrow to France. But they were from America. So Derek calls me and says, darling, would you mind to only a few corners and a bit of bubble wrap? Because, oh, yeah, the gentleman is with his own plane. Oh, I see. So it only needed sort of a little bubble wrap and so what have you. Okay, I was still down in the dip. I was not elevated at all. So here he said, are there any more galleries? I said, if you walk that way, about 10. He said, you will see us back in about an hour. Okay, and lo and behold, an hour later, they come in again with all this. Now, this is the most beautiful gallery. We love every bit of it. And he comes to me as I hand the painting over. He says to me, you are excellent. You're very talented. And you are a beautiful woman. I'm a woman of almost 80, and he is about 60. And I thought, Lord, I'm glad he doesn't see my heart. It is so dark. In elk geval. So off they went, sending blessings on them. And so I was not lifted up. I thought, okay, finally. Painting sold. Oh, finally. I'm in bed and I'm now really praying and saying, Lord, thank you for the sale. And the Lord said to me, this is so beautiful. The Lord said to me, you've been in this deep, 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 dark ditch. I have sent the people. I want to see you back on the mountain top, praising and worshiping me. I still call you a beautiful woman, and that's I reached out to you. I started weeping and weeping and weeping and repenting, saying, Lord, forgive me. How quickly do I forget to count my blessings? And so, counting your blessings every day. May that be a message for all of us.
Thanks, Sai. Yeah, I think we're coming to close the message now. I think I've got three scriptures here. Let's just almost read them together as a reminder to count our blessings. Speak so much to that situation. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all his benefits, yeah. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And Lamentations 3, 22, 23, we've got it there. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And last but not least, Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What a high note to finish on. And we bless the Lord how he keeps his hand not only on us, but all of us. And we bless and we praise the Lord for that. I think as we just close the service now, if there's anything in what Rosita shared that has touched your heart, that you feel you need prayer for, just come forward. We delight to pray for you. If you need prayer for anything, if you need healing, we'll pray for healing. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, and today's the day, we'll pray with you for that. If you've been away from the Lord and you want to come back, come forward. We'll pray for that. So we'll pray for anything. And actually, very important, I need to say this. I'm so struck in recent weeks of the evil power of curse words. We saw it at the Freedom Weekend that we had recently. Liesl agrees with me. The amount of people in this room who suffered from childhood very often, or marriage, or whatever, who suffered from curse words spoken over them. And you see, someone can say to me or you, but you shouldn't take any notice of it. But you know, those things go very deep, and they really hurt. Such a thing like, oh, she never understands anything. Doesn't sound too serious, but it's on the top of scaifbeck. It's on the top of poverty. It's on the top of verbal abuse, and the impact that has, because you can start believing that you're poor, dumb, stupid, and you'll never be anything. And the danger is that one starts agreeing with the curse words. And so I just really feel to emphasize. If you're sitting here today and you've had people speak curse words over you and you haven't broken them or had them broken in the name of Jesus and they still bother you, maybe today's your day to get free from that. The scripture says that Jesus was made a curse for us. And in Deuteronomy it says, cursed is he who hangs on a tree. Jesus hung on a tree and he was made a curse for us. So it's one of the privileges of salvation when we give our hearts to Jesus, that if any curses in your life, whether they word curses or other curses, if you do not receive the benefit of what the Lord Jesus did at your point of salvation, you can be prayed for after that. You understand? Sometimes we don't get healed from everything that's wrong with us at the point of salvation. But Jesus paid the price for the healing of all our sicknesses, infirmities. But we can come to the Lord after that if necessary and get healing for our bodies. So in the same way, we can get deliverance from the effect of those curse words that people have spoken out over us. I've seen it with my wife as she sort of acknowledges and repents and renounces and does whatever she needs to do. Those things get broken. And I've seen it with many, many people. It's a case of recognizing what's happened to you, recognizing that Jesus paid the price for us on the cross, and getting into agreement and praying and breaking the power of those curses, and it can change your life. It's changed the lives of many people. So I just want to encourage you here today. If that's you, and you recognize with a little bit of a flutter in your heart or your spirit, then don't be afraid to come up just now, and we'll delight in breaking the power of those curses over you.